Wait, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord.
I have a couple of announcements. For those of y'all that don't know what Bill and Betty Wagner are doing and what we're supporting as a church, he started Psalm 91 Heroes, and we're buying these cards that have on one side, it says, "All authority comes from God," Romans 13, 1, 4. We would like to bring to your attention the 91st Psalm. In the scriptures, it's come to be called the Soldier's Psalm. Almost 100 years ago, during World War I, the 91st Infantry Brigade of the U.S. Expeditionary Army was preparing to enter combat in Europe. Because their commander was a devout Christian, he assembled his men and gave each of them a little card on which was printed the 91st Psalm, the same number psalm as their 91st Brigade. They agreed to recite that psalm daily. After they had begun praying the psalm, the 91st Brigade was engaged in three of the bloodiest battles of World War I, Chateau Thierry, Bellwood, and the Argonne. Other American units that fought in the same battles had up to 90% casualties, but the 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord.
So you want me to read Psalm 91?
Yeah. Okay. Then I want her to read Psalm 91.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, these are the Psalm 91 Heroes pocket cards that we are distributing to all the first responders, policemen, firemen, EMTs, etc. Okay. And so we'll get into that in a minute. So Psalm 91 is God's prayer of protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent, because He loves me. Because He loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. War is won in prayer. The weapons are the word of God.
Amen, okay. Amen. Praise
thank you, Jesus.
The Lord.
So this pocket card is what Bill is passing out. Oh, your pocket. It won't work in your pocket. But anyway, he's passing this out also with other people helping Scott Smith, Mike Bradley, Pastor Jeff, even us. We're passing these out. And it costs, I think they're 4 cents a piece is what it's costing us to get them, but he buys large quantity, like 25,000 at a time for 500. Okay, they're going April 11th and 12th down to the Woodlands close to Houston to the Texas Police Chiefs Association meeting, their annual meeting. There's going to be approximately 3,200 police chiefs there. He's not only taking these, he's also taking those crosses, the cross pins that I got from 1687 Foundation, as well as they sent us books called Imagine Heaven by John Burke. The foreword was written by Don Piper, who went 90 minutes to heaven. And so they've sent all of this, and we have so much stuff now. Pastor Jeff is going with Bill and Betty down to the Woodlands. They have to take two cars. The hotel rooms are $109 each night, two rooms, gas for two cars to get down there. And while he's down there, he's going to Houston Police Department to deliver 5,500 of these. Okay, so so far you've passed out 20,000 at least, close? Right at it. So 20,000, and there's only 73,000 policemen in Texas. Okay.
Amen.
So we've almost clipped a third of them, getting close. But a lot of them have been given to fire departments and other responders, ambulance drivers, things like that. So Okay, so if you want to help with this, if you'll just on your check or your offering, if you'll just put Psalm 91 down on the corner of your check, and we still, you know, we'll give you your donation receipt and everything, but just notate it so then I gather the money and I give it to Bill for expenses for the gas, the hotel, and ordering more of these, okay?
Amen. All right. Amen.
One more thing. I got a letter this week from Christ Haven for Children. And I wanted to read it to you because for Christmas, most of you know that we give Christmas to Christ Haven for Children. We've done it for 15 years, and so far I think we're over $170,000 this past year. I just received some more money from Wings of Hope, so God's really good. This is from the Dwight Robarts, Executive Director for Christ Haven for Children. When normal is abnormal. Recently, we were interviewing candidates for an open position here at Christ Haven for Children, and near the end of the interview, a candidate asked, "Why do you do this work?" I've often asked this question. People know this work's hard. Caring for any child's hard work, but caring for children at Christ Haven may be harder due to the experience they had before coming into care. The average house parent in child care agencies in Texas usually last only 18 months. We do better, but this work is challenging. Why do I do this? I had very little, if any, trauma as a child. I was lucky. I was born in the United States to two people who showed up every day. I never lacked for food or clothing. I had a roof over my head. I was read to, played with, encouraged, affirmed, challenged, taught to think and to work. I had community. I traveled and had new experiences. I had a vision. I had hope. I gained confidence. I was not beaten, shamed, ridiculed, or tormented. My parents sacrificed for my two brothers, my sister, and me. They sent us to college. They spent their entire time from the moment I was born preparing for the day when I would live on my own. I thought this was normal. It should be normal for every child, regardless of race, religion, gender, family wealth, health, etc. My experience isn't normal for many kids. This was normal for our kids at Christ Haven. Living in the car with Grandma. Living in the backyard because the condition of the house is so bad. Dumpster diving. Not having a toothbrush. Not having a bed. Not able to get to school because parents were absent. Constantly dealing with lice. No help with homework. One or more parents in prison. One or more parents abandoned them. One or more parents frequently drunk or high. Daily shaming. Feeling shame for their circumstances like it was somehow their fault. Thinking something was wrong with them when the truth was something that had happened to them. No access to health care when sick. Witnessing one parent beat another. Enduring repeated sexual molestation. Embarrassed or terrified that others might find out what their home was like. Wondering when they got home from school if they would have a home. Living in an apartment with 14 others with no electricity or water. No one to talk to about the very important questions in life, such as, what does it mean to be a person? Who was Jesus? What does it mean to be faithful? How does one have integrity? How does one learn to trust and be trusted? What is our purpose? How do we make a life for ourselves? For many of our kids, this is normal. The abnormal is normal. Why do I do what I do? I think every child should have the normal I had. Unfortunately, too many kids think abnormal is normal. I want to provide normal for the kids on our campus. Recently, I asked our staff to tell me the good things that had happened at Christ Haven in 2016, and here are some of their answers. We welcomed three babies. Angel and Jasmine graduated from high school. Angel and her son, Legend, entered our transition program, and Angel is going to college. Our new therapist, Rusty, is having a huge impact not only on kids but staff. Dan joined us in the late summer to run our Life Path Transition Program. Erica assumed new leadership responsibilities. Our resale store, barely used over in Keller, made over $200,000 in 2016. And I know that's great. These are crucial funds to support our kids. So if you have any used clothes or items, you can always take it over there. We are in the second year of a three-year-long process of certification with the Sanctuary Institute. Sanctuary is teaching us the impact of trauma on our emotional, physical, spiritual, and social well-being. We are learning new ways to undermine the negative impact of trauma in both children and adults. Two of our girls in Cottage One were baptized last year. Some of our kids made the dance team at the local high school. Sarah and Natalie got jobs. Truancy and tardiness are down. An exciting and productive new partnership with M. Gale Associates. They're helping us improve our donor relation skills and helping us with strategic planning. the incredible growth and development of our Child Care Learning Center. But here's my favorite, a response from Amy Cooper, our relief house mom. She said, the best thing that happened at Cottage 2 last year revolves around bedtime. I always lay in the dark with the younger kids on the floor, and we listen to the Bible app after prayer time. We always have great discussions about the Bible, and the kids ask some very deep questions about life, and they also sleep great after this. I love it when we have moments with the kids where time allows them to open up, share their feelings and their lives with us. I love bonding with the kids and finding out what makes them tick. I love late nights with my big kids all standing around in the kitchen, laughing, sharing, and having discussions about life. These are the moments that make life worthwhile. Our conversation usually revolves around the amazing questions that the little kids just ask. The big kids are always amazed with what questions little kids can come up with during bedtime prayers. What I heard from our team and Amy in particular sounds normal to me. These are the normal things that should happen in any family or organization that's committed to growth, development, and positive change. Many of you understand this, and I want to thank you for helping us this past year to create a new normal for the children at Christ Haven. Thanks for helping us feed, educate, clothe, and shelter these children. Your gifts ensured that our children were able to go to the doctor when they needed and to receive counseling that helped heal and renew their spirits. You helped us to continue to provide a refuge of healing and well-being. Thank you for your generosity toward children in need. Your gifts help correct an injustice. You are providing normal in the face of the abnormal.
Amen.
So I just want to thank everybody that helped last year with Christ Haven and the Christmas benefit. We ended up giving to 11,942 children and elderly. We also gave to 220 families, and we fed 133 homeless Christmas dinner.
Praise the Lord. And all of that started because standing in front of this pulpit, I made a simple statement. I said, Christmas is for children. I said, don't go out and buy a lot of stuff for a lot of people that don't want what you get them, and they take it back the day after Christmas. I said, you get the wrong size, the wrong color, or whatever. So I said, you know, Christmas is not for adults. It's for children. I said, so find you some children. This year, find you some children. Go buy them some clothes. Go get some money. Send them to school or something. Do something for kids. I said, my wife and I used to take one or two children from Buckner's every year. We'd go down to Buckner's and we'd take a couple of kids and take them to town. We'd buy clothes for them for school. So I said, do something to help somebody this year. From that one little statement, Cheryl, which wasn't my wife at the time, she went home and called her daughter. Said, my pastor said we ought to do something to benefit some children this year. We need to help some kids. So out of that, she went out to check her mail on the front door, and Christ Haven had sent a Christmas card to her, to her house. When you think about God and how he works and what he does, and to think how that he put that Christmas card in Cheryl's door, in her post office box, whatever, and then her and her daughter talked to a guy, Chad, down at one of the places they were singing and playing, and at a Walmart, and she asked him if he would help them on the get started, and told him what he was doing, and he said, sure, I'll give you $1,000. And that's the way it started. One little statement from the pulpit. Do something good for kids this year. So, you know, we're talking about what we're doing here and how we're going to see God, already have seen God do awesome things with Christ Haven. It's not often you see a Baptist deacon, that's what I was at the time, it's not often you see a Baptist deacon get involved, that's got a healing ministry, gets involved with the Church of Christ. But through kids, we can do anything.
Amen.
And that's what this is all about, is helping children. So whenever we saw what God has done in the thousands of kids that he's taken care of and fed, and, you know, I can't even grasp. If any one of you, let me tell you, I just want you to understand where my heart is today. If I were to hear any one of you that had a car that drove here on your own, and you had money in the bank and money in your pocket, and you left here today grumbling and complaining about something, you better be glad I'm not going to meet you at the front door. Because I may take my board with me. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? If you are blessed to be here, and you got a head on your shoulder, and you got hands that work, and you got money, some of you are complaining because you hadn't got enough to make the next three house payments in your pocket right now. You're grumbling about it. But you should be praising God for it. I mean, you know, you should be praising him for everything, because the Lord says, in all things, give thanks. All things, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when I think about where I came from, I was the luckiest boy on earth. Outside of some of you might say, well, no, I was the luckiest boy or girl. But let me tell you how lucky I was. I was born out here in West Texas and in a little town. My mother and dad, whenever they were young, they got married, Daddy needed a job, and so he worked in the oil field out here in West Texas. And they went out there in the oil field, and they bought them a little tent and a little bitty wood-burning stove, and they had their first child in that little bitty tent with a wood-burning stove in it, and they was happy because that's the way everybody lives. You know, but, I mean, some of y'all never lived in a tent and had a wood-burning stove to cook a pie with at all. But, you know, my mother did. She was raised up like that. But when we moved down to Goldthwait, we moved down there, and Dad bought a little piece of property and had an old house that he redid a little bit. But we had a place to hang our hat. We had a place, and I had a place to run and play and to work and to, you know, everybody worked. And so I just thought this is the way everybody lived. I had a mama and daddy that loved each other. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. When I think about these kids that Cheryl was reading about there a while ago, they don't know when they come home from school if there's going to be a place. I think about one of my friends that I know real well. When she was 6 years old, she came home from school and her mother had left her and took everything in the house except what was in her bedroom. There wasn't nothing at the house, nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't grasp coming home at 6 years of age and there be no mom and daddy at home.
No.
I can't grasp that. But this couple, this young lady that I'm telling you about, she came home and there was nothing, just like these poor kids. These kids that are to get to live in Christ Haven, that's some of the criteria that's required. You have no place to stay, or you're sleeping in a car with your grandmother. Nothing. You have nothing. You know, we just don't understand how lucky we are, because whenever I would come home in the afternoon from school or whatever, I got off the school bus right in front of the old house we lived in, but it was a house, and we had it, and I was able to, we had something to eat every night, you know. I mean, whenever we had a strong wind blowing, the wind was blowing the paper on the wall, and inside that house would blow on the inside as strong as it did on the outside. You know, but I thought that was normal, because that's the way everybody down there lives. You know, you don't realize how lucky we are. Today, I got a nice little one-bedroom. Me and Cheryl have a nice little one-bedroom apartment back here on the backside that we built ourselves with our own hands, and it cost us $35,000, and it's paid for.
Amen.
So we don't need nothing. You know, I mean, I'm so blessed. You know, Cheryl loves her little one-bedroom house because she's got a place to sleep. She's got a bathroom. She can get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and it's either warm or cool. You know, it's not, you know, and don't have to worry about snakes. You know, that's one good thing. I remember when I was in Vietnam, some of you that never had the privilege to go to that place, and I'm glad you didn't. But one morning there, we were in a tent-covered thing with kind of thatched roof on the top of it. And I woke up, and just as I woke up, I looked down, and here's the guy that is caught right beside mine, reached down and grabbed a tent stake, and I thought he's fixing to kill me. I thought he'd lost his mind or something, because crazy things go. I jumped up, and when I did, he said, "Scribner, don't move. Wait a minute. There's a snake right at the head of your bed." A cot. So anyway, I run the other way, and he beat it, and he killed it. And when he did, it was a brown coral snake. So we didn't know what it was, so we took it down to the doctor, the BX dinner, and asked the doctor if he knew what it was. And he said, "Yeah, that's a 100-foot snake." I said, "Man, if that's a 100-footer, it's only about 18 inches long." I said, "Man, he must be a baby." He said, "No, he's full grown." I said, "What do you mean by 100 foot? He said, "If you get bit by that snake, it works on your nervous system, and within 100 feet, you die." He said, you may try to run, but said you can't get over about 100 feet, and you die." So that gave me a whole new perspective on the country over there in that part of the world. I was a little more careful where I walked and what I did and boots I wore and all kinds of stuff. You know, and then one night I had a really good morning with the F-105s come back in, and I was supposed to do some work on the airplane. And I went out there, and I'm there working on the airplane, and all of a sudden I looked and I saw something moving right there over the wheels. And I looked and I went and got my flashlight, and it was a snake, big as my arm, about 10 foot long. He was curled up around that nice warm tire where that airplane had come in the middle of the night, and it's cold, and he felt that heat, and so he come over and curled up all around that thing. You know, some of you, the more I talk, some of you more, in a little bit, you may start thinking, you know, my house may not be quite so bad. You know, my car may not be quite so bad. My car payments may not be too bad. I think I can go to work and get me a job, and I can do something here. At least I'm in America where I can do something. You know, isn't it wonderful that we live in America instead of just grumbling and complaining? I can remember one of the greatest stories I ever heard Cheryl tell was when she was having trouble like that with her two kids, when she went out trying to find a job, and she'd run out of a job, and she's sitting there in the bathroom. I think she's sitting on the potty. And she was sitting there, and Scott comes by, and she's crying and everything. He walks by and looks in at Mama. He's only about this big, and he says, "I hate it when she does that." But she's crying because she ain't got a job. Well, Christy, 2 years older, Christy comes up and put her arm over Cheryl's shoulder and pats her mama on the back and said, "Mama, what's wrong?" She said, "I don't have a job. We don't have no money. We don't have nothing to eat. I don't know what we're going to do." And Christy said, "Well, Mama, why don't you go get a job?" So Cheryl said, "My goodness gracious, that's what I can do." So she got up, got dressed, going out, and took the newspaper and started to work the next day. Wow. You know, so in America, you need to stop being in your pity party and start thinking, "Hey, I'm living in America. I can go out and do something. I can go mow somebody our yard." Or they say, "Well, what if you don't have a mower? See if they got one. Use theirs." All kinds of things you can do. But you know, when I think about now, then when I said all that to say this, that if all those kind of things can happen to us, if all those things we just heard Cheryl read about can happen to a group of men in World War I. And I don't know if you paid attention or not. I don't know if you were listening. But those men that was in World War I, that brigade and everything, that 91st Brigade, those guys, because they had a commander that was a real strong Christian believer. Did you hear her say that?
Yeah.
He wanted his men to read Psalm 91 every day. And so he gave them a little Bible or something, or a card or whatever with Psalms 91 on it. And every day, those men quoted Psalms 91. At the end of the war, now some of the other brigades that went out lost up to 90% of the men. You know, Cheryl and I went to see a movie here a while back about a man that wouldn't take a gun. Yeah, so some of y'all probably saw that movie too. But those men, this man that would not take a gun out there, they went up on this mountain to try to take this thing, and he brought back, I think, 85 people that were wounded or killed. But as they were coming in, the pictures, as the horses, it was back in a World War I setting also, the horses that were pulling these carts and everything had all kinds of dead bodies on them. You know, you're marching in and you look and all the guys that they're bringing back are all dead, their heads are blowed off and everything else, that kind of scares you. What's going to keep me from being next? You know, if you even have a thought about being depressed, get over it. I mean, get over it. You know, I mean, really. And Cheryl, sometimes she gets even upset with me whenever she says, you know, honey, I'm having all this kind of problem with this lady or this lady. I said, just tell her to get over it. In fact, some lady the other day called and she said, you know, if Pastor Scrivener don't call me, I'm going to kill myself. I told her, I said, Sharon, be sure and tell her to do a good job. Do a good job. Blow her head off really good. You know, my goodness gracious, for a year this woman's been bugging us. She won't do what we tell her to do. So why not just go ahead and let her kill herself? All she wants is attention. She don't really want to die. You know, the thing about it is, we don't know how lucky we are. This woman has no idea how lucky she is. If she's been calling me for a year, she needs to understand she's got something that a lot of other people don't have. You know, if you're sick or afflicted or whatever, what did the Lord tell you to do? Praise Him in all things? Lord, I'm praising You for all things. I'm not going to have to go over there this afternoon, or they're not going to come get me tomorrow or next week, and I'm not going to be hauled off to whatever, to Vietnam again tomorrow. I'm not going to go there and get my head blowed off. I've already been there and already lucked out because God protected me and brought me back. I'm praising the Lord. I am praising the Lord, absolutely praising the Lord that I can still walk. I can still talk. I can still run around out here. So I don't care if everything that looks around me like it may be that I'm, who knows what's wrong with what's going on. But I do know that this man, these men, and this Psalm 91, that stood their ground and read that psalm every day. Now, what did those men do? Each one of those men read Psalm 91 every day. And they was into some of the hottest fighting in World War I. And how many of them got killed? How many of them got injured? What? Not one man? It didn't either get killed or wounded? Okay, now that if Psalms 91, which is the Word of God, if Psalm 91 will work that good for those people, what do you think maybe you and me ought to do with Psalms 91 every day this week? Amen. You think it might be a good idea to read it?
Yes.
I think it might be a great idea to read it and praise the King, because if He'll do what He did for those men in Psalms 91, by reading Psalm 91, if those men can come through that entire battle and not even get an injury, not an injury. My dad, I know my mother told me after I got back from Vietnam, she said, I've never seen your daddy pray as much as he did for you. He said he was so afraid he was going to lose the only son he had in Vietnam. So said he prayed for you every day. And did I make it back?
Yes.
Did I get injured?
No.
Not a single injury. I made it back. So if it works that good for me, and my dad was praying for me, maybe it'll work that good for you and your prayers for your people. Reckon? So what I'm trying to say here is I think that I'd love it if I could, and I don't hear many grumbling and complainings at this church, I will have to say. I try not to grumble and complain. Most of us here try to not grumble and complain because we know how blessed we are. We are. Are we blessed, Tony? We're blessed, aren't we? I mean, we're blessed. You know, I think about how easy it would be when wherever you are. You know, Tony, he was a fighter pilot and in the Middle Eastern War. He flew jets, fighter jets over there. And, you know, he flew all over the place over there. And I don't know if he ever took a hit or ever, I don't know if he ever did or not. But all I know is he's sitting right there and he looks pretty good shape right now. You could have lost your life in that mess, couldn't you? Of course you could have. Yeah, you could have, I could have, but somebody was praying for us somewhere. And I just want us to know that if I can make a simple statement and it moves a woman's heart to start giving Christmas gifts to a bunch of kids which she's never seen or heard of in her life, and in the next, how many, 14 or 15 years? 15 years? And in the last 15 years, Cheryl and this church, now after me and her got married, we pulled the whole thing together. And the church has been a part of this now. And many of y'all that are here today have been a part of this, some of you for all those 15 years. But we have seen God bless those children abundantly. He sent them to school. And how many of you have ever had the privilege to go to one of the Christmas meetings that we give for these kids? Who's had the privilege to go? Okay. Did it have an impact on your life?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all. I consider myself a man's man. I'm a mean man. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. I'm a mean man. But I'm telling you what, even this last year, I told myself, whenever it comes time for me to pray over everything over there, I said, Lord, for 15 years I've been praying over this stuff, and every year I cry. So this year I'm going to be the old mean man. I'm going to be tough, and I'm going to pray for these kids, and I ain't crying tonight. I didn't make it, did I, kid?
No.
Everybody's makeup got ruined again.
Yes.
I can't help myself when I look at those children. And I see what all of us together have done as a team to bless those children. When I see that, I can't, and I look at how lucky I have been. I mean, I really, when you look at how lucky you have been, how blessed you are, you know, please, whatever you do when you go home tonight, you know, praise the Lord on the way home and thank Him. As you drive along, if you can't think of nothing else, just thank Him for the highway you're driving on. You know, because lots of countries and the places where I've been don't have a highway to drive on. They really don't. You know, and in fact, Jeff, here a while back, we were talking about something, and he was telling me about a trip he had made somewhere in Africa or somewhere, and he's talking about the place they went, how that they only had about 5%. He said, America is only has, we have about 5% of the people in the world that have hot and cold running water, and most of them's right here in America. I can remember when I went to Cairo, Egypt. Anybody in here ever been to Cairo, Egypt? Okay, a few of you have, very few. Let me tell you what. You women in here, and in other words, it turned my stomach. I'm a man and a hardcore man, but let me tell you, when I walked into the public bathrooms in Cairo, I have never seen anything so bad in my life. Never. I'd be willing to bet that there's not a woman in this place, most men that are in here today, that if you had to go to the bathroom, you'd hold it or something until you got somewhere else. That's the worst bathroom I ever seen in my life. You don't know how lucky you are. You really don't know how lucky you are. But you know, right here in America, who would ever dream that we would have kids like Cheryl read about? We got kids coming home, sometimes trying to come home, and then there ain't no home. Or they come home and they get beat up. And then, of course, when they get down to these really bad, bad places, these kids, if somebody finds them in time before they lose their life or before they get beat up, somebody will take them over to Christ Haven, and Christ Haven will take them. And that's where these children become not normal anymore. You know, they become children that have a place to come home to. It changes their whole world. But it takes a lot of money for Christ Haven to do this. And of course, I'm grateful that we've been able to bless them. But I want you to really be serious tonight and as you go. If these kids are so sad, and they are so sad, don't as you leave here today, I want you just to praise the Lord and worship Him and thank Him for what you've got. You know, you may think that you've had some bad things happen in your life, and you may have had some bad things, but I've been there. And I guess that's why I can stand up here and like whenever Cheryl's, she's never seen those kind of things. She's never experienced those things. She never went to war. I told her today, I told her, I said, I'm so grateful that you've never had to go to war. War's not for women. It's not for men, but men have to go fight wars. But I said, I'm glad you never had to go. And she said she's glad she never had to go. But I'm telling you, there is a lot of people that have had to go to war, and they really don't know how lucky they are if they live in America. You know, I just stand in awe that we are so blessed and we have so much, and we have a God that loves us, and we have all power and all authority over the enemy and everything else. And then most of us won't even pray for somebody. I mean, you need to pray for people. You know, I mean, as a Christian, you need to pray for people. I mean, you know, not necessarily every time you touch somebody are they going to get healed. But if you pray for them, then you don't know at what time they are going to get healed. But God can do that for you right after it. He can change their life forever. He can change your life forever. He can change everything. So, you know, do something to bless these children. And I thank all of you for the ones of you that have blessed these children that have been taken apart in all these givings and everything and all the Christmas gifts and everything. And I'm going to tell you this story because it so touched my heart. When we were out at Christie's restaurant one year before we had it, there was a brand new little boy. He's about this big. I don't know how old, 6, 7, 8 years old. Like I don't know. But he was sitting right in front of me. I was sitting there at the table, and he was sitting there, and another little girl about his age was sitting right beside him, and she was bouncing off the wall. I mean, she's just jumping up and down, praising God, you know, and we go along there for a little while, and I says, son, I says, why are you not happy? He said, I don't have nothing to be happy about. And I looked over at the little girl and I said, young lady, why are you so happy? She said, oh, sir, this is my third year. This is my third year. I know what's fixing to happen. Said, all that pile of Christmas presents up there, said, probably a whole bunch of them is going to belong to me in just a few minutes. But said, this is his first year. He's never been here before, so he don't know what's going on. But she said, I know what's fixing to happen. So she's as happy as she could be. I'm telling you, she's praising the Lord. So anyway, all of a sudden the girl starts calling out names, and he said, did they say Josh or whatever? I said, yeah. He said, that's my name. I said, well, that means you need to go up there then, and they'll give you a present. I get a present? I get a present? I've never had a present. I said, well, go get it. He went up there and got it. He came back and started opening it. And they called his name again. He didn't have this one open. So anyway, he was running back up there to get another one. And they handed it to him, and he comes running back and lays it on the table, starts to tear it open. And then he thinks, well, I didn't get the first one open yet, so he starts back tearing it open. Now he's trying to open two at a time. And he gets one open, and he's dumbfounded. And all of a sudden they call his name again. He said, I get another one? And he runs back up there. Before it was over, he got 30 presents. 30 presents. And some of us grumbled about some things that we did or didn't get that year at Christmas. I just thought to myself, Lord, I'm just going to get to where anytime I see anybody that's a Christian, a born-again Christian, if they're having any kind of problem, I don't care what it is, and they're come fussing to me, I'm just going to tell them, just get over it. Just get over it. That's what you say, Miss Jackie. Just get over it. I mean, you are so blessed, and I'm so blessed, we ought just get over it, right? We ain't fussing about nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, you just don't know how lucky you are. But you know, if those kind of things can happen, and I see those happen every year, and I know as long as the Lord lets us do this, as hard-hearted as I try to be, I can't be hard-hearted over these kids. You can tell that right now. Here I am standing there before all of you, and I can't hardly keep from crying right now. Those kids, to see those kids blessed, it's beyond your wildest dreams. So, you know, if we can see these children be blessed like this, and we watch them every year get blessed, and if we can go back and read and see what Bill has put together and all these other men and everything about Psalm 91, and how Psalm 91 has affected these men. This was no coincidence that every one of these men that took one of these cars back in World War I and read it every day, that they could come through that battle without a scratch. And yet, up to 90% of the men that didn't read that card lost their life. Up to 90%. What does that tell you? Does that tell you God's word works? In fact, I'm going to tell you something. As a healing minister that has ministered to no telling how many people in the healing world, there ain't no telling how many people I've prayed for. Ain't no telling. Ain't no telling how many people I've seen God heal. Ain't no telling how many he's healed that I don't even know about. But I have people come all the time. I've had people come. I can remember a young girl back there at the back one day. I was getting ready to have a healing school. And she was there talking to somebody. And I walked up and said, hi, young lady. How are you? And she turned around. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Thurman. And she just grabbed me and hugged me and kissed me on the cheek. I said, well, I don't even know you, young lady. I don't guess. I said, well, what's all this about? And her husband right behind her says, well, I'll tell you what it's all about. He said, my wife, I got some of your CDs and brought them home one time. And I told her about this. And he said, we started listening to them. And said, as she listened, I told her, you know, what he just said there is your sin. you need to repent of your sin. And if you do, I'll pray for you, and I guarantee he'll heal you. And he said, my wife said, no, it couldn't be. It couldn't be. That could not be my sin that was keeping me from getting healed. He said, I stayed with her. She didn't want to hear it, though. So he finally said, I had to take your CD in another room and turn it up real loud so she could hear through the wall. Because she didn't want to try to hear that it was her sin that was keeping her sick. But said she finally agreed, okay, maybe it might be because I am not doing that. And he said, my wife repented and I prayed for her and said the Lord completely instantly healed her. And that's why she hugged you, because she'd been sick for years. So what if you don't read the word? I'm going to tell you, if you will read this book, and if you'll take this Psalm 91, I believe with all my heart, if you'll read Psalm 91 in its entirety, this 16 verses, if you'll read that Psalm every day, whatever you got wrong with you eventually will get well. Just read Psalm 91. I don't think you have to do anything else. Just read Psalm 91. I don't think you need me to pray for you. I don't think you need anybody else to pray for you. I think just Psalm 91 will heal you of anything. Just stand on the word. Just stand on the promises of God. Worship him and praise him and thank him. And I believe with all my heart that Psalm 91 will heal you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe it too. The word. What does God say in his word? What does he send to heal us?
His word.
His word. He sends his word. So if he can send Psalm 91 out there and save tens of thousands of men back in World War I, and who knows how many in World War II. You know, it's amazing. In World War I, there was about 12 million people died in World War I. 12 million. You know how many died in World War II? 52 million. 52 million. And some of you have never had to go anywhere to war. Some of you had stayed right here your whole life. You know, you've been really fortunate. You've been lucky. You didn't have to go anywhere. But, you know, so many people grumble and complain. That's what gets me. Get over it. Get over it, really. I'm serious. When I say get over it, I mean get over it. You don't have anything, you know, you don't have anything to grumble and complain about, do you? You really don't. I mean, you know, somebody says, well, I can't walk. So I grumbled and complained because my foot wouldn't work till I walked down the street and found somebody that he didn't have no feet. He didn't have no feet. So then I thought, well, maybe I ought not to grumble and complain. At least he still had feet. This scripture, wow, when I think about what's available to us from God's word, it's a mighty book, isn't it, Jack?
Absolutely.
We need to learn to stand on these promises. We need to learn to quote his word so that we can walk healed. Now then, God's putting us, different ones of us, through different tests. He's putting me through a test right now. I don't like it either, but that's just the way it is. He's putting me through a test. But I'm gonna come out on the other side and I'm gonna beat this thing. Because God made me a promise. I told a lady the other day that wrote me and Cheryl, and she says, she wrote us and she said, I listened to one of your CDs where you said that, you know, God only promised us 70 to 80 years. But she said, I want you to know you can live longer than that. And I wrote her back and I thought, you know, I ain't too sure I want to live longer than that. 80 may be all I want. You know, this is pretty good stuff here, but you know, 80 years, I get tired of living. I'm not too sure I want to go. She said, but I'm not ready for you to go. She said, we need you. I said, why do you need me? She said, I'm the woman that had the breast cancer in her left breast. You called about 3 months ago, and while you were praying for me and I was repenting of my sin, my knot disappeared and I've been healed and I'm still completely healed. So I said, we need you. I said, okay. I'm okay, Lord, I ain't in no hurry to go away. I need to stay here to train the young boys.
That's right.
The young boys need to know how this works, right?
Yes.
Amen. And the young girls. And the girls. Yeah, the girls need to know how it works so you can pray for people. You need to learn how to pray for your neighbors, for people, for anywhere, everywhere, in the store, wherever, you need to learn how to pray. Is everybody you can pray for going to get healed? Probably not, but they may. You never know. But if you don't pray for them, they won't get healed. I'll tell you that for sure. But if you do pray for them, some of them will get healed. I know. You can just look around in this room at the people that's here today that have been healed. Yeah, how many in this room have been healed that through this ministry? A whole bunch of you. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Walk in obedience to His word, and He will keep you healed.
Yes.
Right, Miss Carrie?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes, 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 praise the Lord. We love it. Wow. I think I will. Thank you, Lord. Anoint that bottle in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want every one of you to make the Lord a promise that you will start reading Psalms 91 at least once a day. Will you do that?
Yes.
I mean, if there ain't nothing wrong with you, it still would be nice. I think God would love it for you just to get in the Word with Him and read His Word. Read, if nothing else, just Psalm 91, don't you think? And I think then that he, because isn't that a powerful verse? He, what he does, promises. Wow. But anyway, read Psalm 91 every day. Do the best you can to read it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Not only read Psalms 91, but learn to memorize it. Work on that. Like a young man the other day came to me and he says, you know, Pastor Scribner, I went to a healing school and I told him that I needed to know what he had to do to get people healed. And he said, well, you need to know the word. And so I said, okay, how much word do I need? They said, well, how long have you been a Christian? He said, I told him I'd been a Christian about 15 or 20 years. He said, well, then the Lord says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So he said that you probably should have at least 500 verses committed to memory. He said, I like to fell over. I couldn't believe he expected me to have 500 verses committed to memory. But, you know, that's why we don't see anything too, isn't it? Because we don't have a lot. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I guess I ought to just start down the row right here and start saying, who can quote me a verse? I wonder how many verses we could get if we were to this little group right here today, if we all said one or two verses. I wonder how many we could get. Reckon we could get a couple of hundred?
Yeah.
I bet you we could too. Some of y'all in here could probably quote a couple of hundred verses. Really, really. Wow. But I don't want us, no grumbling and complaining. I want us to praise the Lord and worship Him and thank Him for all the things He's done for us. Thank Him for these kids over at Christ Haven that Cheryl read about today. There's so many of them kids, you know, that, you know, this girl's name and her pictures are just rolling through my head when I think about when she was 6 years old. She went to school that morning up in the Northeast. She was 9 years old? 9 years old in the third grade. And when she came home from school that afternoon, her mother had left her and took everything, and there was nothing for her to eat or nothing. She cried in her bedroom for 3 days before somebody heard her and found her. Yeah, 3 days. That's unbelievable to me how a woman could run off and leave her own child like that. None of you in here, I hope none of you here were ever treated like that. I hope you were not. If you were, I don't want to know about it. It's amazing. Amazing what people do. But today that girl is a hard-working girl. She's got her own kids. It's amazing. So anyway. Yes, ma'am.
When I was a sophomore in high school in Oklahoma City, it still makes me cry with joy and amazement that I had a drama teacher. And the first thing I remembered walking into his classroom, that he had a hook on one of his arms. Didn't have a hand. He was a drama teacher, but yet he had us to memorize Psalms 23 and Psalms 91. And I've often wondered, why didn't all the teachers do that? And all these years, and I wondered, whatever happened to that man? He could have been a military man that had been wounded. I don't know. But of all the classes, you know, I would have expected that in English or some other class. But in drama, he had us memorize those two.
Wow. Praise the Lord. You don't realize how lucky you are, do you? You know, I've told some of you this story before when I was down in North Richland Hill, and I went to I forget what kind of church it was, but I spoke down there on faith, and that day there was a man there that had his hand all twisted up and twisted back like this, and he couldn't open the hand or nothing. And he came up and wanted me to pray for him, and I did. And right there, that day, when I prayed for him, God opened that hand, and it started working. And it hadn't worked in 8 years. I didn't know the guy, so I told him, I said, you know, give me a card with your name and your address and everything. He lived somewhere right there close. I said, tomorrow I want to come by and see you. And he said, okay. So he's running around there screaming and jumping up and down and everything. So the next day, next afternoon, I drove back down there and went to his little apartment. And when I got up to the apartment, I knocked on the door, and he says, come on in, it's open. And so I just reached down and turned the doorknob and pushed the door and walked in. And here's this little guy sitting in the middle of his bed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I thought to myself, I have two of those things that work every day, and I have never said thank you, Lord, for my hands working. But let me tell you what I did that day. You know what I did that day? I praised him and worshiped him and thanked him that my hands both worked. You know, it's amazing if all of us, if there was nothing wrong with none of us, and we didn't know how bad it is to have parts missing, you would never be able to associate what people have to go through. You would never, I mean, if everything worked all the time, you know, hey, everything works. If your hand works, it's supposed to work. But God says, I made your hand, your eyes, and everything for you. So you ought to praise me for them. Okay, Lord, thank you that I got eyes. Thank you that I can see. Thank you that I have hands and arms and legs, and I can walk and run and play. And Lord, I thank you for everything, because so many of us probably don't say anything. But I want you to start thanking the Lord. You know, when you leave here today, before you leave here today, as you walk out or as you're going out, just like Jack was years ago when Jack first got his back healed, I prayed for Jack and nothing happened. His back didn't feel no better. He goes out and gets in the car, and I tell him, I said, just keep praising the Lord, Jack. He'll heal it. Well, he got to the car and reached down and opened the door. And when he did, all of a sudden he realized there's no pain in his back. And that's been years ago, hadn't it, Jack?
Yes.
And so God healed Jack's back right there. And of course, from that day forward, I don't know how much he used to thank the Lord for how much his back worked, but I bet he says it more often now than he used to. Because, you know, I'm grateful. Aren't you grateful?
Yes.
I'm grateful that God does that. But something that I really, really want us to be aware of, and I know all of you are looking and around and seeing what's going on in the world. I mean, you know, I mean, one of the men that was here last Sunday, his son was in England, was in London, and he was going to school over there, and some of his family went over there, but he prayed Psalms 91 everywhere they went, the whole time they were gone, until they got back. And of course, when he got back, he was at church Sunday, and he said that, you know, there was no problems, everything worked great, because I was praying Psalm 91 over my family. But the next week, you all saw what happened this last week, right? That young man and his wife that were celebrating their 25th anniversary wasn't quite so lucky. It wasn't quite so lucky. You know, if you've got people that's going to be going places, especially if they're going, not only just here, if they're going to be going places outside the United States or even in the United States, it would be a good idea to start praying Psalm 91 over your loved ones on a regular basis. I'm going to have to tell myself that too, because I've got a family, I've got children, I've got grandchildren, everything, and they need to be prayed over, because the way things are going right now, you don't know where these Muslims and these terrorists are going to be. But they're all over. And they have a goal to annihilate us. Y'all know that? You have the best weapons in the world if you use it. If you use it, use that weapon. The Word of God, Psalms 91. Pray over your loved ones. Because if you don't pray over them, you have no protection. And you have no idea what those people can do. But, you know, they're bringing more and more and more of those terrible terrorist people into the country, into the America and everywhere else. I don't want my children and grandchildren to be hurt, do you? No. So what are we going to, how are we going to stop it? We're going to use Psalms 91 and we're going to pray Psalms 91. One more time, I want you to read just Psalm 91 out loud one more time, and then we're going to pray for people. Cheryl's going to get her glasses on, praise the Lord. Now listen, this is Psalm 91.
God's prayer of protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Psalm 91. Praise the Lord. That's a great weapon, the most powerful weapon in the universe right there. You have it at your discretion to use however you want to use it. But if you don't quote it, it won't work. Most powerful thing we can find, isn't it, Bill? Okay, my prayer warriors, for all of you that are prayer warriors, stand up. If you need to be prayed for, one of these people that's standing up will be ready to pray for you. Cheryl and I will be here at the front. The rest of them will be scattered all over. If you want to give a donation to the ministry today, there's a gray box over there. If you want to be prayed for, one of us will be available to pray for you. Go home praising the Lord. And I'm coming against this cough myself in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to come against that in Jesus' name, and I come against everything that's attacking us in this church, all of us. We command these spirits to leave and for all of us to be healed and delivered in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Now then, praise the Lord. Okay, if you need to be prayed for, one of these prayer warriors will be here to pray for you. If you don't need any prayer, you're dismissed to go home or shop around and get you some CDs and DVDs and take them home with you and listen to them on the way home. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord. Yeah.